And a warm hello to the Business Bunker Show with me, Jules Serkin, and Sarah Marsh Collins flanking me in the co-presenter seat today. Morning, Sarah.
Morning,
Jules. Hello. Or is it afternoon?
Yes, it is.
Past the yard arm already.
And, get the wine out.
Please, pick. Flanking Sarah, we have the super... let me just say how you can listen in case you want to know. So you can go onto 100.2 FM and also Freeview 277. I guess you're already listening that, but you can text your best friends and tell them. We've got a special hospitality show for you. Going to tickle your taste buds. So in the studio with my sparkling co-presenter, Sarah Marsh Collins, we have James McComas.
Good afternoon. Hello.
Who's come in from the... He's the MD of Eastwell Manor and Champneys.
General manager.
Oh, you're the general manager?
Not the MD.
Oh, well... Oh, yes, I've got managing director. Never mind. He is a GM of Eastwell Manor and Champneys Spa. This is why your face looks all clean and scrubbed. Do you get into the spa much?
Well, not for the facials.
Your face looks very clean and scrubbed.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Especially for radio.
Yeah, naturally.
I've always been told it's a wonderful face for radio.
So. Naturally, it's clean and scrubbed, James. And then with him, we have Sarah.
No, Karen.
No, we have Karen, sorry, Ashford. I told you my tea bag split, didn't I, this morning? It's been a chaos, listener, I can't tell you. So we have Karen Ashford, along with baby Erin. And Erin is the CEO of Wayfarer Wines. She's in charge, and she's in the green room at the moment.
I don't think she's leaving. Oh, right.
With Nanny. Okay. With Nanny. Yeah, she's with Nanny, that's fine. Does she say grandma or Nanny or...?
No, not yet. No first words just yet.
She's 5 months. She's only five months, yeah. She's adorable. She was asleep, so I won't have a hug yet, but maybe later. Although, of course, Karen's praying that she doesn't wake up while she's on air. Multitasking mother. She's the Wayfarer Wines and a family wine-producing business, listener. And I think I believe you specialise in stunning still wines.
Yes, yeah.
Of which you've brought quite a few in.
Yes, I've brought a few for you to taste.
Taxi!
Never mind, let's just get a hotel room and make a party of it.
As always, you can tweet us. Please use the BBunker hashtag. You can tweet us at BusinessBunker, at VanillaWeb. He's lounging in his little lounge pyjamas today doing some official work. And use the BBunker hashtag so we'll hear you. Me, Jules Serkin, you know me, and Sarah, S. Marsh _ Collins.
There's no underscore, it's just S. Marsh.
Oh, is there not?
Yeah.
Really?
I wonder maybe why. That's why you can't find me.
Well, I do find you somehow, but we were talking about the X, as previously known Twitter, weren't we? I find it very hard to say X, you know, X me.
No,
it's all wrong.
It just doesn't make sense.
Okay, so you have no underscore. I'm very sorry about that.
That's okay.
Maybe you can get one just to please me. So, Sarah, you're going to read out a few what's happening things. I know there's a Grey Fest happening because Darcy Greyhound is going, of
course. Yes, indeed.
In fact, I'm a judge. Did you,
you
know?
You are on the Saturday, aren't you?
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Anybody who likes a greyhound or would like to find out more about greyhounds, then Greyfest is absolutely the place to be.
It's 2 days, isn't it?
It's 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, not this weekend, but next weekend.
I think it is...
It's the 19th and 20th.
Yeah, isn't that... What's the date today? Honestly, I don't even know.
It's the 8th today.
Oh, okay.
So I keep looking at the wrong thing on my watch and it's saying 17 and
I know.
It's actually the temperature.
I've got a horrendous week and I was trying to interview yet another cleaner.
Oh, God.
At £15 to £20 an hour and one that will hopefully turn up. Because being a woman, I prep for a cleaner, which my new husband thinks is odd. But I don't clean for the cleaner, but I prep for the cleaner.
Well, it has to be tidy. They're not there to tidy up.
They're yeah, clean, otherwise you're they? Paying them £20 an hour to, I don't
move
know,
stuff.
Move your stuff. Exactly. So I do that and then they never come. There's lots of ailments, put it that way.
Yes, you've had a bad run of luck.
I have.
Haven't you?
So I'm interviewing yet another tonight and I've kind of lost the will, actually. And I was doing it all myself at the weekend. It was great. I did it really well and realised there was still Christmas needles when I move chairs. So
But that happens anyway, doesn't it? You exactly. sort of find them for months
Christmas,
and months.
Yeah, but this is nearly a year, isn't it? I mean, we're looming.
Yes, I suppose.
Somebody sent me a Christmas tweet this morning, which really gave me the heebie-jeebies.
Oh, that's too early. Way too early.
Anyway, you hoddle on and tell us what's going on in your
okay, so just a bit more about Greyfest. So it is on the 19th and 20th of August. 20th is actually my birthday, but there you go. So if you go along on Saturday, you can see Jules as a judge there. Tickets are just £5 each, unless you want to camp there. They do have a camping option. Which
I love a camp.
Yes, so do I. I can imagine camping with two greyhounds in your you need a massive tent.
Well, as long as they're on probiotics, that's all I can say.
Yes,
anyone that's got a greyhound will know what I mean.
Immediately. And they've also got some rather lovely out of the ordinary classes, haven't they, for sort of, what is it, wonky dogs and things like that, but yeah. greyhounds that are...
Yeah, I've no idea what I'm judging, but Darcy has already got a rosette, so she's got friends in high places.
Does she get a rooing rosette?
She, a what?
A rooing.
No, what's that?
Yeah, well, it's the sound that greyhounds make when they cry.
Oh, yeah, she does that at 4:30.
Yes.
All people that don't like dogs are now turning off. So let's get on to what else is happening. We've mentioned greyhound wind, greyhound rooing, and let's move on.
They are a wonderful, wonderful pets. Anyway, so what else do we have on? We have on Kent Creative, Culture in Kent, and that's taking place in Margate on Saturday the 2nd and Sunday the 3rd of December. So plenty of time to get it into your diaries.
I love Margate.
Calling all artists, designers and makers in Kent, inviting them to submit their work to the Designers and Makers Market, taking place at Turner Contemporary. Mm. So their aim is to provide a platform for Kent-based designers and makers to showcase their work, offering the chance to sell directly to new and existing customers. It's the sixth year that this has taken place, so it's quite well established now, so it sounds like a good thing to be getting down to.
Brilliant.
Biddenden Tractor Fest. Now, there's one you can't miss.
Well, Paul's going to that. That's where Paul's going.
Is he
going
to drive a tractor?
Probably. He drives anything, yeah. Yeah.
It's a traditional day for the whole family. Do you have your tickets yet? It's on the 19th and 20th of August. So perhaps Greyfest one day and Tractor Fest the next. In the fields of Holden Farm, Sissinghurst Road in Biddenden. And you can find more information about that on the kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar.
You see, I think you should have said that with more of a farmer's accent than Biddenden, cider.
Yeah, but I probably will get accused of, I don't know, funny accent.
Being Australian.
Yeah. Nigerian, maybe. Yeah.
And what else have you got?
I also have the Women in Business Big Show.
Now, oh, yeah. Paul calls them big women, which gets him in trouble.
Yeah, I will have to have a word with him because
exactly.
I'm exhibiting
So it's
there,
the Women in Business
Big Show.
Okay.
And it's bringing together business specialists, therapists, handmade retailers and professional services, everybody that you need to run your business legally, efficiently and profitably. There's lots of workshops going on as well from various experts in things like accountancy and HR and all that sort of thing, employment law. So absolutely the place to be. And also you do not have to be a woman to go. You can be a man. That's okay.
Or anything else.
All of those, yes, exactly.
Do you have a list of who's there? Or
I don't here, but I can dig it out.
That's fine. I'd just be interested.
Yeah, it's it looks like it's quite well attended. Some really good speakers as well. I think Zoe Cairns is going to be there. Jemima from she's an employment law specialist. Mm-hmm.
Well, the HR and accounting is like it's so crucial for an SME.
I really wish that somebody had said to me as soon as I set up, get an accountant, and I'd done it right from the word go.
As it was,
I struggled on for about 2.5 years.
And there's always things that you can claim for that you don't know about,
and
then there's things that you think you can claim for that you can't.
Yes.
And things like that.
Yeah. I have more. Do you want to do more now?
Yeah, well, I was wanting just... a little top tip from you on your social media, because of course Sarah Marsh Collins with no underscore is she's a social media guru, and so I dragged her in here not just to be my co-presenter but to tell us a few top tips. So I'm going to get some later on as well, but have you got a little snifter for us?
Okay, well let's start we'll do Twitter later, we'll do LinkedIn right now.
Yeah,
so oh, I'm sorry, X.
James is going to heckle now.
Should we just call it Twitter X?
What?
Then we've got everything
Twitter X. Because it's, I wake up in the morning and I see all these black X's. It's the first thing I see in the morning.
Yeah.
And I absolutely dislike it.
Me too. It's so
black
sinister.
Is not a colour. It is sinister. And it reminds me, I get why he's done it. He's done it to get his brand. And if he wants to bring it, amalgamate it with banking and all that sort of thing. But it could have just stayed with a little blue bird and Twitter X, as you say, would be good. Yeah. Right to him.
Yeah. I think he's probably done it mostly because he decided that he's trying to attract the newer generation to Twitter. Mm-hmm. And therefore, by giving it a rebrand, it's a good way of giving a bit of a, you know, sort of, it's new, it's exciting, come and yeah. check out what's going on.
And there
on
ain't
Twitter.
Nothing exciting about a black X.
But yeah, it's just so sinister, isn't it? You wake up to a wall of notifications and it's all black X's everywhere. Yeah.
Put a bit of controversy out there, get a lot of conversation going and everyone will be interested.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, of course. So I was wondering, in an ideal world, whether he'll get so much stick about it that he'll say, we're going back to the blue bird. And then can you imagine everybody would be, everyone but Karen, who's who's on Facebook and Instagram. I forced her to reopen her Twitter account. Do follow them. They are at Wayfarer Wines, exactly what it says on the tube. Maybe he will.
I think that this is a classic case of Mr. Musk doing exactly what Mr. Musk wants to do. Mm. And let's face it, he doesn't really care either way. He didn't want Twitter in the first place. He went, I'll have it. Oh, no, I don't really want it. Yeah. Oh, no, I have to have it. Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah.
Why doesn't he pass it to you? You're a guru.
That'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, what have you got? What's other snifters?
Okay, so let's go with LinkedIn. First thing I would always say is when you've got your LinkedIn profile, make sure that the URL, which has to be unique to you, make sure that that is actually your name. Now, if you don't have a name that's completely unique, like mine, Marsh Collings, I am the only Sarah Marsh Collings in the world. I know.
Are you?
I Googled.
Wow.
It. Yeah, I know. Cool, huh?
Gosh.
But if your name is perhaps more common, then add something at the end of it that will indicate what you're doing there, if you see what I mean. So, for example, it would be Karen Ashford Wayfair Wines or something. Wayfarer Wines, along those lines, so that it is something that people can immediately identify as you. Because, again, if there's more than one, you know, let's say the name is Anne Smith, there's probably loads of Anne Smiths. If people are trying to find you and there's 100 people they've got to go through, it's very difficult. But if they can actually just type in something else that is also identifiable to you, it makes it a lot easier.
And the when they put loads of numbers after their name,
I hate that.
I find that really hard. My little top tip is to have
get rid
something
of those numbers,
but to have something memorable.
Yes,
because the search on X has changed in my view, as I said. Mm. So it needs to be something that you really remember, doesn't it?
I mean, with Twitter, it's always good to pick a handle that is immediately obvious that it's you. So as soon as you start introducing numbers and stuff, and if you're doing it as a personal account, then it needs to be something that's representative of your personal brand. It's a great place to build a personal brand.
Well, let's go to James, because I was just before we do cheesy tunage, of course, that's where everybody's waiting with bated breath what we're going to play. James, because I was searching for Eastwell Manor, and up comes this sort of country house that students stayed in. Do you know, have you ever done that?
On X, Twitter yeah. whatever we're calling yeah. it. Yes, yeah, I'm aware of that. And it looks like it was some Swiss TV show that somebody tried to get off the ground once upon a time. And we made some efforts a while ago to investigate it and see if we can get it taken down or at least explain it with not much luck. But aware of that.
Did you ever get a response from them?
No.
Has it been used? I can't remember, but I did get
no, I think I did keep an eye on it for a while and it had, I don't know, 34 followers or something. Mm. And there hasn't been a tweet or a comment or an interaction on it for 4 years or 6 years.
Over to
years
Switzerland
or something
to find out.
Are you sure you can ask them to close it down if it's not being used?
Have
you got any tips
we'll
on that, Sarah?
She's
going to think of one.
Yeah, I'll
come
find
back
one.
To us.
But yeah.
Ask old Elon. But it does annoy me when Twitter handles are empty and they haven't been used for 100 years. Mm. And, you know, I'm still following them all because there used to be a platform that you could find your unfollowers and then it stopped.
Right.
I can't remember what it was called. One of them.
Yeah, no, I used to use it all the time. It was
so handy.
And then
it banned you from doing that for some reason.
Well, there used to be a free version that gave you something like 100 searches and then there was another one that you paid for and it was sort of limitless. But then they completely changed it and I think it's totally disappeared now.
Okay, I can't remember what it's called, but somebody listening will remember. Yes. So, James, if you're following them, it's at Champneys.
Yeah, at Champneys for the Brown property, and then you can follow me at JM underscore.
I knew someone.
There is an underscore in that one. Yeah,
JM underscore McComas.
Yeah, but at Champneys for the Brown page, and that'll have all the big updates.
Brilliant. And you're going to be talking to us in a minute about what's happening there and also events. We'd love to hear from you as always. Use the Bee Bunker hashtag and we'll read out any events that you've got going. We'd love to hear from you. So a lot of people going to watch Barbie on my Twitter, I'm noticing. So that's quite funny. We've had a tweet from Tazy64 who says, I'm looking forward to listening in live. Hopefully I won't be late for the Bee Bunker party. She's obviously seen all the wine lined up. and just out gathering together the last bits and pieces for the Women in Business big show. She uses that hashtag on Thursday. So Tracy Ferguson will be there. So.
Yes. Yeah. We've had that discussion. We're looking forward to seeing each other, aren't we, Tracy?
Brilliant. I am going to play some cheesy tunage in a minute. I'm just going to see if you can guess it, of course. But I have to do two little snifters here. Snifter is my word. And let's see if this works.
Wine on the phone.
Channel 2 Talk Radio.
So this is the actual intro that I should have played at the beginning of the show. So in case Paul Anders is listening, I'm playing it now. And then we're going to have cheesy tunage. And we'll see if Sarah can get it. Challenge. A challenge indeed. If it takes just a little while. Right, here's your song.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Coming up. Come on. Guess it in one. To do with wine.
Found it on the grapevine.
True, even. By Marvin Gaye.
Marvin Gaye.
Let's have a little listen and it hopefully tickle your taste buds for more wine.
I'm not afraid to
on a little bit of sultry Marvin Gaye there. Do like a bit of soul, don't you, Sarah?
Oh, yes. A little bit of a sway.
Yes, I do. So, over to James McComas to hear what's going on in the hospitality industry. We've had a big sort of pause, didn't we? And then we've all gone, all systems go, ta-da, back in action.
A little bit.
Tell us what's happening over there. Just tell the listeners. We've got quite a few American ones who might want to visit lovely sunny Kent. So tell us where you're based for a start.
Sure. So Eastwell Manor is based just a couple of miles outside of Ashford town centre. We're 39 minutes out of the city centre of London.
And it has a train station, doesn't it, Ashford?
Yeah, straight on the train out of St Pancras. You can get straight down to us in 39 minutes. We are a 16th century country house, hotel and spa. We've got 65 acres of beautiful grounds, manicured gardens, little secret hideaways and stuff, and 74 bedrooms.
Where you can be found in little secret hideaways, sometimes slumped under a bush, can you? At the end of an exhausting day.
I mean, not a personal experience, but, you know, we do a lot of weddings.
Which must be very stressful.
They can be.
Come on, tell us.
They can be. I mean...
Do you ever find a bride crumpled under a bush?
Never found a bride. Crumpled under a bush.
Have you found a bridegroom?
We've found a variety of guests, you know, in various locations, occasionally in various positions that they probably don't want to be found in. You know, every so often somebody will want to take a late night dip in the jacuzzi. We've got a beautiful outdoor swimming pool, nice outdoor jacuzzi, and it's all locked up and it's nice and safe and secure, but somehow... People like to find a way to
swim under the stars.
Yeah, to get in and enjoy those facilities. So, you know, the great thing about what we do in hospitality is the constant variation and the constant surprises. And Eastwell is no stranger to that in terms of presenting the unknown or the unexpected.
Intriguing. Yeah. What about a swimming pool? So how do you find the energy crisis? Do you know much about how they're heating it? Or I suppose it's not really your... thing, is it?
I am no technical expert on it, that's for sure, but swimming pools do take a large amount of energy to heat, there's no doubt about it. So we almost a little bit coincidentally, actually, about 4 years ago, we put a new boiler system in at the spa.
Lovely.
So we made sure we've got the newest high efficiency boilers to keep the heating there. It's all regulated to make sure that it's a stable temperature. Mm. And we try to keep it, you know, sort of the 28 to 29 degrees. In terms of the indoor pool, which is, it's warmer than your
average,
warmer than your town centre, leisure centre.
Yeah.
But the reason for being in the pool is a little bit different. You're there to enjoy it and to relax, not swim lengths for.
Yeah.
For
I did actually
minutes,
when so. I was there, swim lengths.
You can swim lengths.
I
for
did.
Sure.
Yeah. I love to swim a length. I broke my, I had a knee op, years ago, half knee replacement because of a horse riding accident. And there's a little spa, tour spa. Mm-hmm. And my physio took me there and they've got this little pool. And when I had my knee, I'm such a mad puss that I was, you know, coming out of hospital, I was trying to do lengths in this tour spa and the physio told me off, you know, she said, where do you think you are? The Olympics, you know, because you're not supposed to do that. But yeah, but your facilities are beautiful. I love especially the steam room.
Yeah.
I really like a steam.
Steam room and sauna. Yeah,
that's really
absolutely.
Popular.
A steam room would be my preference.
Yeah, me
as
too.
Well.
Meet you there with Karen.
But good, it's good for the skin, good for the lungs.
So,
good for the soul.
Yeah, and have you dipped into alternative like solar and all these heat pumpy things or not yet?
Not yet. It is something on the radar as you know, as existing plant gets older and we need to start look at replacements or improvements, then you know, we will try to segue stuff in. Mm. At that point, but we...
It must be quite difficult to retrofit that sort of thing with such an old building. Mm.
It is. You know, there's already, you know, 500 years of history with people putting their hands in the walls and trying to run cables or trace pipes and
Yeah, I was reading about this in my mother's Daily Mail. I don't buy it myself, just to let you know, listener. But I always get my mum's Daily Mails about a week later and then she goes, you can see you haven't been round for ages because look at the pile of paper papers, and that makes me feel very guilty. but this lady had a Victorian house, and she's got all these beautiful retro refurb radiators, and they, you know, when they went round, the engineers said, right, they've got to come off, and you've got to have these great big things on, really ugly. And so she wasn't. We do have a good listener, Bob Beattie, that should you need any info on that, he does fit all this, and he's quite an expert, Bob Beattie.
Good to know.
Scottish, of course. So we can always put you in touch with him from the via the Business Bunker show. Let's get back to recruitment. So how has that been for you?
It's hard.
Yeah.
You know, there's no doubt about it. The recruitment market, ever since we came back from
the dreaded
lockdowns, you know, the recruitment market was shot to pieces through a variety of reasons, whether that was people leaving the industry to take up alternative employment, with driving for Amazon or supermarkets or working from home or whatever it might be, or you know, the industry lost a huge amount of people with the onset of Brexit who were then unable to return.
So what nationalities did you notice leaving? The Polish, the Romanian?
Polish, Romanian, absolutely. Bulgarian, we lost. East Wales specifically lost a fair few Portuguese. We had a number of Portuguese guys who
were. And they're always brilliant in hospitality, aren't
yes.
they?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Really a real natural flair for it. And it's been really difficult to replace that talent pool.
It's much more of a thing on the continent, isn't it, that it's actually a career choice, whereas here in the UK it's sort of seen as something you do before you go to university or during summer holidays. It's fewer people consider it as an actual career choice, but such a shame.
Yes, yeah, it is true. I mean, the industry is changing, there's no doubt about it. There's a huge amount of work having gone in across all sectors of the industry to improve not only the perception of the industry, but to improve the employee experience, to improve the development opportunities, and to really show, you know, what it is about the industry that's so appealing and that satisfies so many people. You know?
So tell us why somebody should come and work at Eastwell Manor.
Why come and work at Eastwell Manor? Come and work at Eastwell Manor, come and work in hospitality for the constant levels of engagement, the endless opportunities for development, and the fact that you get to spend your day making other people's lives better. It's you know, that's what it comes to. We're in the business of giving everybody a highlight of their week. You know, and it doesn't matter if you come to Eastwell Manor, that's what we're about. But if you go to almost any other hospitality business, that's what you're about as well. You know, you can, whether you're checking somebody in at a Holiday Inn, checking someone at Eastwell Manor, checking someone in at Claridge's, wherever you might be, it's about providing an experience for somebody that is going to give them a highlight, going to give them a memory to look back on and think, wow, you know what? That night, that evening, that day, whatever it might be.
Yeah, such a memory.
That was a highlight.
Yeah.
And even better, it wasn't just that the fact that the building was amazing or the steak was delicious or the cocktail was beautifully made. It's the fact that Alex or Alice or whoever it was who served it to me was so memorable and interesting and you know, we're about.
I was at a hotel in Liverpool, quite a famous, it's that footballer one, I can't remember the name of it, but anyone that knows about football knows it's named after a famous footballer, I think from the 60s. And we were there and we were late for breakfast, and breakfast finished at 11, I believe it was. And I went, oh, you know, where can we go? And he was saying, somebody was saying, oh, you can go up the road and they do all day breakfast, da-di-da-di-da. And we were really tired. And then I don't know if he was front of house or he might have been a GM, I don't know, or whatever, came up and he said, I'll just go and ask the chef. And he went and asked the chef. He said, chef will do you breakfast. Mm-hmm. And they sat us down. And to me, that just, the memory of that,
it's
a small thing, but probably a big thing for the chef who was just clearing up to have a bit of a break. But it was very special, really special. And there was no vibe of us being rushed. That was what was also beautiful. You know, there were no hands on
hips. That's it. You know, that memory has been generated by what is effectively fairly basic levels of what we consider service. You know, it doesn't always have to be about the gold and the shiny and the super expensive. It's about the engagement and the care. And even taking something that had the potential to be, if not a disappointment, a moment of ambivalence, you know, so you miss breakfast. But it's taking that moment and turning it into something that, however many years ago, you're now still talking about it on the show here and now. You know, that's what hospitality is about. And the opportunities within hospitality don't, you know, they don't stop at your waiter level or your room attendant level, the opportunity to deliver that experience goes all the way up through GM level, up through the executive board. You know, every single person, I employ about 150 people at Eastwell Manor, and every single person in that team has the opportunity to deliver that moment, to make that moment, to be the reason that somebody's smiling, to be the reason that somebody is remembering their time with us.
You get a real buzz from catering as well, don't you? I mean, yeah. I started out in catering many moons ago.
Yeah.
And at the end of a busy service when everything had gone really well, we'd all be bouncing off the walls because it's just so much fun.
There's so much energy involved. And you know, I was reading Fred Sirix's book a while ago, and he's got this great analogy of the restaurant manager being the guy who beats the drum for servants. It's like a war drum, and you can feel that. You know, you get into a busy service, and your crowds are picking up, and your tables are filling up, and the humdrum is building, and the energy in the room, and it's exactly like a war drum building in pace, and you can't not come off the back of a good service like that without a smile on your face, and you know, and you can all sit down at the end of it, and you have a beer, and you have a slice of pizza, or whatever it might be, and you share your war stories from the night, and it's a great sense of camaraderie.
How did you get to be at Eastwell Manor as the general manager?
So it's been a little bit of a convoluted route. I started off down in Dorset, where my parents were living in Shaftesbury, and I didn't really know what to do with my life. I was having a mid-teenage life crisis at the age of 15.
So you ate crisps and had a Coke.
And what am I going to do? And, you know, I'd worked out. I didn't want to go into the army, which is what Dad had done.
Mm. Did you travel a lot as a child?
Yeah, well, over the south of England.
Okay.
I moved all over the south of England a lot. And So I was talking to my parents, and they suggested, oh, why don't you try a hotel? You know, we've just been on holiday. You enjoyed the hotel. Try a hotel. There was one down the road. It was a Best Western, 3-star. So I went down there, did some work experience, and I spent 2 weeks cleaning bedrooms and conference room floors. And
so
I loved it.
At the deep end?
And I absolutely loved it. And the thing I loved was the sense of belonging, the sense of camaraderie, and the fact that, you know, these people, and as it was at the time, you know, the room attendants were a very, a very standard sort of mold. It was mums, you know, late 40s to late 50s who were doing a bit of part-time work. You know, they'd been doing the same thing for 10 years. Mm. And there was me, a spotty 15-year-old boy.
So you call them room attendants?
Room attendants. They could be housekeepers.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a million different titles for every role, in the industry. And I loved it. I loved the sense of camaraderie. So I came out of that two-week period with a part-time job. And I started waiting tables and tending bar. And I decided I'm going to go ahead and study this. So I studied it at the University of Surrey. I did a 4-year degree
in hospitality,
international hospitality and tourism management.
Did you get involved with any of the butlers that I know, the butlering schools or anything?
I never did any butlering.
Yeah.
Never did any butlering, but I did 4 years on that course and spent a year over in the States.
Wow.
In Vail, a beautiful mountainside resort, which was just an unbelievable experience. And then when I graduated, I moved to the other side of the world, moved to New Zealand, and I lived there for 5 years, working with our core hotels and doing all my supervisory junior management stuff. And again, just being exposed to all these different facets of the industry and the different markets. And, you know, I got to move around a little bit from the hustle and bustle of Queenstown, which is just full on. And I didn't know if my wallet or my liver was going to give up first. And then... to Picton, this tiny little town of 4,000 people.
Sheep.
No sheep, but a lot of wine in the Marlborough Sounds.
Yeah, yeah.
And but it explodes in summer to, you know, 4 times its usual size with the tourists and stuff like that. And that experience kind of cemented it. That was me. This is my industry. This is me. I'm going to be running hotels. This is my life now. And eventually I moved back to the UK. I moved around Reading and Oxford and Birmingham with the Malmaison Hotel de Van group.
So you must have learned an awful lot there.
Yeah, I mean, that was a fantastic experience. They treated me really well. They put a lot into my development, moving me around. It gave me exposure to a corporate side of life that I hadn't really seen yet. And eventually wound up running the Hotel de Van in Tunbridge Wells. And I started that, would be 7.5 years ago now I started the job over there. I spent
lovely hotel.
4 years in Tunbridge Wells. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful little property.
Nothing better than sitting out in it on the patio.
Yeah.
On a summer's evening.
On the terrace overlooking Calverley Grounds.
Yeah,
there go your
glass of rosé. Yeah, I remember it well.
Rosé, white or red or sparkling.
Well, yeah, anything really.
Just fabulous nibbles. And then the call for Eastwell came up and, I thought, all right, it's time for a change. The thing that really appealed about Eastwell for me was it's a different ownership structure to what I'd been used to. So Eastwell, Champneys is privately owned by the Purdue family. That was a structure I'd not worked in before. Mm. And then the appeal of the building itself and
it's
property itself
building,
was just, unreal. And everything was signed, sealed and delivered. And then we hit lockdown. And the rest is history.
Things got really interesting.
It got really interesting.
But now
now
you're all back, and I believe you've got a new chef starting.
Coming on soon. So so next week we have Richard Barnes joining us in the role of head chef up in the Manor
from the Savoy.
He has spent time at the Savoy recently, at the Barclay.
Right.
Where he's spent the last few years, but he's been bouncing around the London scene for the best part of about 15 years at the Savoy with Gordon Ramsay at the Barclay, and he's chosen us to come to, which we feel very honoured for. He's going to be working with David Terrell, our executive chef, on really developing the brasserie at the Manor and the food offering. We've done a lot of work over the last 2 years on kind of getting the bedrock of the brigade together and getting the food offering and beginning to build some suppliers. We're lucky now to be able to work with some fantastic local suppliers.
Because you're looking for local suppliers as well, aren't you?
Yes.
In actual fact, I phoned my friends at Mallard's Farm.
All right.
And I think I sent you the link to them.
Mm.
So they're just on the way to Faversham, around Faversham. I think it's Water Lane or something. But their produce is great. We've got some really good Kent producers. I phoned him yesterday to tell him you were on, but he didn't answer his phone, but it was lunchtime, and he is a farmer.
He's
probably on a tractor or something.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe enjoying a plough.
Preparing for the Bindon tractor.
But his stuff on. We've got some great Kentish producers, haven't we? And some great Kentish wines.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, there's loads.
Karen.
There's loads around the place. Nice little segue there for Karen and Wayfair. And I've got to be honest, I feel awful because I didn't know Wayfarer were just down the road.
Now you're doing bad because not a lot of people know who we are just yet, which is part of the reason why I'm so pleased that you asked me to come.
Yes.
But we're a relatively new vineyard, a new company. So, we're still trying to spread the word very much about who we are and let people know what we're doing.
Family business too, which we love on the bunker.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we're going to be talking to Karen after and finding out a little bit more. We've had a few tweets that I'm just going to read out because otherwise I forget. And then Mr. Paul Andrews will tell me off. So we've had a little tweet from DG East, regular listeners. You'll find them on the Twitter. I'll read that out in a minute. I think it's DG East 1. And he says, hello, Jules, and your little helper. please can you give a shout out to a frustrated vehicle supplier dealing with poor supply and parasitic regulators. He's extremely frustrated and there's
that's
a shortage
strong language.
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
Yes, good one, isn't it?
Yeah, I like that. Very descriptive.
And then we've had and that's DG East 1 number 1. Then Tenterton Chamber have tweeted us, or X'd us of course. He says, hi Jules, please can you give a shout out to a busy chamber team still processing membership applications. So I'm feeling their busyness just coming through the live wires. The lovely Zeenat Noorani of Mindset Matters, she has a show on Friday at, is it 10:15?
She's 10:30 till 12.
There you are. She sent me a lovely gif of a whatever you call it, of a lovely Labrador. I love this picture.
It's so
looking
good.
Forward to listening in. Lots of laughter and no doubt doggy talk, which we've tried to you know, yeah, diminish, haven't we?
We haven't done too much of it on air, no. I don't think. We started off the whole show. Yeah,
and then I called a halt to it.
Yes.
If my Darcy's listening, hello from Mummy. And I hope Dad's given you your chew.
Well, I know Barney and Ellie are listening, so hello, darling.
Turn off now if you don't like dogs. So Tenterden Chamber, of course, doing loads. Let's just read out their website. It's tentertonchamber.org. So if you're in the Tenterden, Kent area, they have monthly networking meetings promoting businesses in Tenterden, St Michael's and the local area. So I've done that. Let's come back to James. Tell us about your honey. I mean, I listen to Winnie the Pooh quite a lot on my, it's my bedtime story, I'm embarrassed to say.
I read Winnie the Pooh a lot to my son Noah, so you know, I'm right there with you.
How old is your son?
He's four.
Okay, so
have
Winnie
you taken
the Pooh?
Him to Pooh Bridge? Pooh Bridge?
We have, actually. Yeah, he was too young to remember it at the time. Okay. But
so you can go back.
Yeah, we'll have to go back.
So tell us about your honey, Winnie. I mean,
our honey, well, we're waiting for the first
harvest.
Can't
you just say honey?
We're waiting for the first harvest. We started working with Eastwell Bees, a fantastic collection of local beekeepers who have
they all come round dressed in stripy black and yellow jumpers.
Yes, buzzing bzzz.
The little antlers.
You're enjoying that vision far too much,
yeah,
Jules.
I know.
And last year Eastwell Bees installed 9 hives now. At the at Eastwell, just out in our gardens, so close to 1 million bees we've got on the site now. Yeah,
is that a lot or is that normal?
I think that's quite a relative question, isn't
it? How do you keep track of
bees? You can ask your beekeepers.
I say about 1 million because it's about...
You can't count them.
It's about 80,000 bees.
James
to
is far too busy, Sarah, to count all bees. He's just pretending.
Now I've got a vision in my head. And,
we work on the assumption it's about 80,000 bees to a hive, 9 hives, so it's nearly 1 million.
And you have a queen and a...
And yeah, so every hive has a queen. They're all native queens, so they're all UK species. We obviously can't control who they then go out and
if they're promiscuous or
not. You know, and we're waiting at the moment for our first harvest, which we're hoping will be in the next couple of weeks. We were hoping it was going to be a little bit earlier, but the recent traditional English summer has put paid to that, unfortunately.
The hosepipe ban that I had, which started in June when we had 3 days of sunshine, has just come off, which is great.
Has it?
But of course, I don't need it now because it's rained so much.
Because it's raining constantly.
So I've been running
yeah.
around with a water bucket, and we're going to ask, remind me, Sarah, to ask Karen how she gets on with grapes growing.
Oh, there's probably a special dispensation for that sort of
she's
thing.
She's going to tell us. But because the seasons have been very unpredictable. How do you cope with... I'm flitting from bee subjects now, but going to al fresco, because I love al fresco dining.
Sure.
I hate being inside. I'm such a bum for the sun. So I'll always sit outside if I can. But it must be really difficult because, of course, the weather has just been, there's been
because
a lot
it's somewhat
of
wind. Unpredictable. So we've got, as you know, we've got a beautiful bar terrace out on the back of the manor, south facing. It's an absolute sun trap. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
We're lucky in the fact that it is connected to the building. It is connected to our outlets. So the moment the sun comes out, we try to make sure, you know, the cushions are out, the brollies are up.
I've got this vision of you all rushing out and then rushing in with the...
Well, it is. It can be like that. And equally, it works in reverse. So the moment the clouds roll in and it starts to spit, you've got to get everybody out, collect all the cushions in, get the umbrellas down, make sure they don't blow away, clear the, you know.
And what happens if your diners are eating and then suddenly...
They normally...
Get the
move themselves in when it
but
starts
is there
to
space?
Spin.
Is there space?
Oh. Yes, yeah. You know, we're blessed at Eastwell. We've got lots of space. There's lots of lounges and things, you know, that we can adapt the space depending on the demands of the day.
There's always a little bush that they can go under.
You know, if necessary. So it is. It's a lot of movement and a lot of changing decisions. You know, you can make a plan for the week and it gets shot to pieces because the weather's changed its mind. And you know, that makes the life. It becomes a very physical you know, element to the role. There's a lot of humping and lumping ultimately. There is. You've got to move a lot of tables. You've got to move a lot of chairs. You've got to adapt a room to suddenly be an indoor dining space where it would usually be, I don't know, not an indoor dining space.
So if people want to get married at your lovely Eastwell Manor, how far in advance are they having to book?
So it's going through a real period of change at the moment, actually. For the last probably 5-7 years, the lead time on weddings has been getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, right down to about 9 to 10 months for an 80 to 100 person wedding. But in the last sort of 3 or 4 months, that's begun to open up again. And we're now seeing inquiries and bookings coming through 18 months, 2 years, even 2.5 years ahead of time. And we put that down to the change in economic situation. And, you know, any report you read on weddings is suggesting that the intrinsic value of a wedding and the intrinsic value of getting married is reducing within our society. But that doesn't mean people don't want to get married. It just means they're less pressured and they're less urgent to get married. So they'll say, you know, they're happy to say, will you marry me? Yes. Okay. Pop the question. Let's get married. We want to get married at Eastwell, or we want to get married at Sissinghurst, wherever. We'll pop a deposit down. But if it doesn't happen for 2 years, that's all right. If it doesn't happen for 3 years, okay, we'll work to it. We'll save for it. We know it's going to happen, and we go there. So it's it seems to be a trend that lead time is now elongating a little bit. Equally, is a real trend to shift away from weekends.
Yeah, I've noticed
you know, and this
Thursday or a Monday.
Yeah, I mean, this summer we will have done probably 15 weddings. By the end of August, we'll have done 15 weddings between May and August that will have been on a Monday or Wednesday or a Thursday.
It's interesting. That's a big change, isn't it?
It is.
Traditional Saturday.
Presumably, it's not as expensive during the week. Or that's the idea.
No, it traditionally hasn't been, because you have your peak pricing and your off-peak pricing. It tends to be smaller weddings that take place during that midweek. But it, it's a definite change in trend. It presents an interesting challenge for us as an operator, because you're suddenly mixing markets that wouldn't normally be mixing. You know, if you imagine a Wednesday night, you could quite feasibly have corporate guests in. They're here on business. They want an early night. They need a big night. They've got a big presentation to do in the morning.
And then you've got the okey-cokey going on.
Yeah, then you've got the okey-cokey going on, and somebody wants to look at the inside of a hedge. And, you know, so it does provide an interesting challenge for us.
So moving back to the bushes and the bees, because I'm interested, when will we be able to buy some Eastwell honey?
Well, hopefully we'll be getting a harvest in the next couple of weeks.
Excellent.
This will be our first harvest, so it's going to be a little bit of an experiment to see how long does the jarring process take.
Yeah.
What volume are we talking about? We don't really know. But I do promise, as soon as I have something to pass on, you will be the first to know.
No, we'll buzz over, won't we, Sarah?
We certainly will.
We could have a little snifter on their lawn, couldn't we? Al fresco.
Maybe float over on a little balloon.
Really. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Winnie the Pooh.
For honey.
Yeah.
I actually listened to it on Audible while I'm waiting for the new husband. We had a right old new husband thing this morning. He fell over on some pebbles. We live in Whitstable, Pebbly Beach. Fell over 2 weeks ago while he was, I don't know what he was doing, jogging or something with Darcy, and was fine, just had a little scratch. And the last 3 days, he can't walk. So this morning, of course, it was all chaos as I'm trying to leave calmly. And he's gone off to have an x-ray, but the radiographer wasn't there, so they don't really know. But very odd. I don't know why I'm telling you about that. But anyway, what I will say about the new husband is he takes ages to come to bed, much longer than me. Don't know what he does. Does his facials and all that, like you, James, probably.
But getting takes a while.
So I listen to Winnie the Pooh on Audible, and it's just delicious. It's just very calming and lovely. Either that, or I'll be right back, the greyhound training book, which is about leaving your greyhound, which sends me to sleep. So I'm looking forward to the Eastwell honey. And what do you think, just before we come up to the news, what do you think's going to happen with Brexit, and are you ever going to be able to get your Portuguese and your Romanians and your Polish, or have they given up with us?
I think if the opportunity is there for them to return, then they will return. I think the desire for the British experience is still quite strong. The industry is, as I mentioned earlier, the industry is going through a lot of very positive change at the moment. Alongside that, our food culture in particular, also our wine culture, is really developing. It's really beginning to surge now, and so there's no reason why, if the opportunity for these guys to come across and work with us is there and is open, that they won't do it.
Do you openly recruit in other countries?
How do you do that? So at the moment, we've been working with a couple of agents, particularly in South Africa, where we're able to make use of the sponsored visa program.
Because they have a great culture for ethics for work. Mm-hmm. I was always amazed. We go to Cape Town quite a bit, and the young adults, that live in the townships that go on and on and on for miles, and they turn up for work looking absolutely pristine, mm-hmm. With their hair and their uniform. They look amazing.
There's a real sense of pride, isn't it?
Yeah, and of course they don't have the facilities to have a shower in the township, so I'm always really amazed, and they're just lovely, you know. Yeah. So you're doing that.
So yeah, we do that. You know, we're lucky enough, we've got a couple of therapists, Maddie and Tabeka, who came across to us about 9 months ago, probably.
So that's in the spa.
In the spa, yeah. And then we've got three chefs. Fazlin, our head pastry chef, joined us, 14, 15 months ago.
And where's Fazlin from?
So South Africa as well.
Okay.
So all these guys are from South Africa.
Amazing.
Inam is one of our junior sous chefs, and Purity, one of our chef de parties. You know, and these guys have all come across. They've come across with fantastic work ethics.
So what do you do about accommodation for them?
We have some on-site accommodation.
Brilliant. That's half the battle.
Yeah, I mean that without that, we would be really, really flawed.
Because rentals you're out in the rural area.
Exactly.
So if people don't have transport, it's very difficult, especially if they're doing shift work.
I mean, we've done a lot of work on that. We've got 10 bedrooms on site in Mansion Cottage for the team to make use of. We rent a house in town on their behalf as well. We have a minibus that we use exclusively for team transport. So there's a selection of managers who will solemnly throughout the day go out, pick people up from home, bring them to work, drop them off at the end of their shift. You know, all these things to enable...
Yeah.
Ultimately enable people to get to work, drop the barriers that are associated with a somewhat remote property.
It's you've put things in place to make it enjoyable and easy for
accessible.
Yeah, exactly. Trying to like I say, remove those barriers to entry.
And so you've got your Richard Barnes starting. That's great. Mm. And what might people not know about Eastbourne Manor? Different rooms? You've got different suites or rooms?
So we've got, we've got 74 different bedrooms. We've got five different event spaces. You know, we can cater for private dinners for two people, all the way up to weddings for 86. During the summer months, we have this beautiful marquee that goes up, and you may have seen it around this summer. It was up for just the period of June this year. Next year, it'll be up for 3 months, June, July, August. We're working with another Kentish operator on that, Sale and Peg, who are based over in Tunbridge Wells. That is there to give us space to cater for 150 people. Or may even be a little bit more.
Sale and Peg, write that down, Sarah. We'll try and hook up with them.
They're fantastic guys, and the quality of their marquees is just absolutely top notch. They're beautiful. We've got that. What people don't realise about Eastwell is how flexible we are prepared to be to make your event or make your experience, whatever that might be, work. From a corporate point of view, from a weddings point of view, we're not stuck in the box of, okay, this is the room for your dinner, this is the area for your dancing, you have to have this wine or whatever. Mm. We will flex and get creative as much as anybody wants. And from a personal experience, we employ a guest relations manager, Shelby, who's pure job, the whole reason of her being there in the team is to find ways of making your experience that little bit more special. And that might be through something as simple as some rose petals and balloons in the room if you're celebrating an anniversary. It might be helping you organise your proposal. And, you know, she's helped organise treasure hunts that started in Tunbridge Wells and ended up at Eastwell Manor.
Oh, that's amazing.
Wow. You know, she's working with a mother at the moment who's putting together a hen party, not a hen party, a mother's hen party
it's
for
all
her
happening.
Daughter. Anyway, you know, it's just about finding ways of making things special, making things memorable. That is her job. Yeah. You know, and that's what people often don't realise, that we want to find a way to improve your experience,
to make
something
come true.
Memorable. Exactly. You know, but we're not mind readers. You know, and if you show up on the day without any prior communication and then say, oh, well, there were no chocolates in my room, then, you know, if we didn't know it was your birthday, I'm really sorry.
Yeah.
Now we know that, we'll try and sort something out for you. But communication, you know, in advance, it means we'll work our socks off. We'll do whatever we absolutely possibly can to make your experience that much more special.
I now
book
want to
in.
Go, don't
yeah,
you?
Book me in.
The spa. I went a couple of years. I've been a few times actually. And I went with my daughter and my mum, I think, and my new husband. A few of us went, and I had some treatments. And I'm a qualified masseur. Did you know?
I did not.
A holistic masseur, and I'm a qualified yoga teacher as well.
Oh.
In my youth, so I'm quite picky, and they were very, very good treatments. The as I said, the sauna is beautiful. The steam room and just the surroundings are lovely. And we need these kind of places, because in Whitstable we don't really have a big hotel like that.
No.
We've got the Crescent Turner, and we've got the one on the front, the Greens one. I can't remember what it's called now, the Continental. But we don't really have a glam hotel. So I think actually Whitstable needs one, but they built the county council, in their wisdom, built shops there, M&S and Home Bargains and things. We've got the view there, Estuary View, would have been perfect for a spa hotel.
Mm.
Let's hope that we get the bees going, because I'm really interested in the honey, and I'm looking forward to Richard Barnes hearing more from him and seeing what his dishes are going to be. Because I'm
we're excited. We're really excited for him to get in and get.
When's
cracking.
He starting? August.
Next Tuesday.
Okay. And how involved do you get with that?
Quite involved. Quite involved. So all the menus will go through me ultimately.
Mm.
They'll come through me right from concept stage through to final tasting, through to implementation and pricing, etc. So I get to taste a lot of
And you're
if you need any help with that, you know, just
he's whippet thin, isn't he?
Yeah.
Talking of whippets and greyhounds, whippet thin.
Yeah.
I mean,
Racing
I would
snake.
If I was saying to my friend, if I have cake, my mum makes really good cakes, amazing cakes, but if I eat cake for 2-3 days, I put on 3 pounds quite easily. But James is here and thin as a rake.
Yeah.
But we still like him, don't we, Sarah?
Yes.
Yeah, is that
some
okay?
people just have that kind of metabolism, don't they?
Exactly.
It's unusual that I eat cake 3 days in a row.
Wow.
That's because you haven't had Jules's mum's cake.
Yeah, my mum doesn't.
Well, yeah, I mean,
she's
that's
94.
Probably true.
Yeah. She's 94.
Well, I mean, that's impressive in itself,
isn't it? She makes a limoncello lemon drizzle cake
with
limoncello.
Good.
It's very, very pleasant.
That does sound good. I do get
maybe she'd have a sideline in providing dessert.
I think the days of her sidelines are gone. She's far too busy doing all her extracurricular activities. Intune PR have tweeted in, or X'd in, half an hour late listening in, good audio company for a rather soggy afternoon. So in the world outside the studio, it's raining again.
Is it?
Yes.
And my new husband, I noticed, put my umbrella in the boots, not in the car, which really annoys me.
Oh, there's no point.
I know.
Soaked.
What is it with that? And Sarah Marsh Collins, you've said something about driving Zeben. I don't know what that means.
Oh, Zinat messaged in. Yeah, well, Ben is Gujarati for sister.
We
call each other. And so Chandra is Chandra Bai, Amy's brother.
Yeah.
And we call Dazzle Dazzle Bai. And, so yes, we've got our own little
cosmopolitan show.
It really is. But yeah, she was basically saying that she couldn't believe that we both of us in the studio and we didn't already have a bottle of wine in our hands.
Well,
so I said we're driving.
Yeah, I mean it is a dilemma, and we must be careful. And as I said, I didn't bring almonds in because they make me cough on air,
and they crunch a lot.
And they crunch.
Did you see the tweet from Casey Canine? Hi Jules, please can you give a shout out to a love-struck greyhound back from spending a week with his new mate Zippy.
Oh, he has a new friend.
Yeah, did you not see
poor Darcy though? Does that mean Darcy's ousted?
No, I think it's probably just a placeholder.
Ooh. Well, we're going over to the news now, so we'll be back after the news and hearing from Karen Ashford and Wayfarer.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to
weekendarea.co.uk.
Does your business have great customer service? Are you a successful small or large business? Are you creative or innovative? Whatever your business strengths, you need to shout them out. So what's stopping you? Enter the Kent Business Awards now. Get your easy-to-complete application form from businessawardskent.co.uk.
Talis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com.